Just on that. Oh, good. Okay. So hopefully that works now. Okay. Okay. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. Just check that sound is going through. Should be, hopefully. Okay. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam. So, what's your name? I don't know. Ibrahim, okay. Oh, Ibrahim, okay, mashallah. Good. Okay, so last time we did two hadith. What were the two hadith we covered?
Foundation.
Yeah, and the next one? Yeah, about how the water came. In fact, there's a copy of it. I have to borrow it. The first one is about the intentions, actually the by intention, and the second one was about how the what the prophet experienced. So sometimes it would be like hearing a bell, sometimes he would see the angel Jibreel in the form of man. Okay, and then this hadith is really very important, and it's a story which you all know, I'm sure, that when the revelation first came to the prophet and he was in the cave, which cave was it when the prophet came, the revelation Jibreel first came to the prophet, so he was in a cave. Do you know the name of that cave? Hira, yeah. So the cave of Hira, and presumably you know the story that Jibreel came to the prophet and he squeezed him and he said, read. And then the prophet said, what should I read? Or I don't know how to read. Yeah. So this is the hadith which actually explains that. Okay. Let me see if I can make this larger. Okay. So the hadith goes that, so the first starting of the inspiration or revelation to the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the form of good dreams, which became true like the bright daylight. And then the prophet started to love seclusion, being on his own to reflect and so on. He would go into seclusion in the cave of Hira, where he used to worship Allah alone continuously for many days before he went back to see his family. He would take some provisions with him for the time he was staying, and then come back to his wife Khadija to take more food, and then go again for another period. Until suddenly the truth descended upon him while he was in the cave of Hira. The angel came to him and asked him to read. The Prophet ﷺ said, I do not know how to read. Then the Prophet ﷺ said that the angel came and squeezed him and pressed him so hard that he couldn't bear it anymore. Then he let him go and then again asked him to read. And he said, I do not know how to read. Then he pressed him again a second time until he couldn't bear it anymore. And then he released him and then asked him again to read. And then he said, I do not know how to read, or what should I read? Because Arabic has the same meaning. Then he caught me again for the third time and released him. And then said, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi allama bil qalam. So you know those ayah, yeah? Read in the name of your Lord, who's created man from a clot. Read, and your Lord is most generous. Then Allah's Messenger وسلم, returned with this revelation, and his heart was beating strongly. He was scared and terrified. Then he went back to Khadija bint Khuwaylid and said, cover me, cover me. He was so terrified, he wanted to be wrapped up. So she covered him until his fear had settled down. And after that, he told her everything that had happened. And he said, I fear that something may happen to me. And then Khadija answered, never by Allah. Allah will never disgrace you. You keep good ties with your relatives. You help the poor and the needy. And you look after your guests well. And you help the people who are affected by calamity. Khadija then took him to her cousin Waraka ibn Nawfal, ibn Asad ibn Abdul Uzza, who during the times of Jahiliyyah became a Christian. And he used to write, he knew the Hebrew language. and he was able to write from the Injil, from the Gospel, in Hebrew as much as Allah wished him to. He was a very old man and he had gone blind. And Khadija said to Waraka, "Listen to the story of your nephew, O my cousin." And then Waraka asked, "O my nephew, what have you seen?" So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam described whatever he had seen. And then Waraka said, "This is the one who keeps the secrets," meaning Angel Jibreel, "whom Allah sent to Musa. I wish I was young and I could live to the time when your people would throw you out." Allah's Messenger asked, "Will they throw me out?" And he said, "Yes, anyone who came with the like of what you have come or what you have brought will be treated with hostility. And if I was to remain alive until that day when you'll be turned out, then I would support you strongly." But after a few days, then Waraka died and the inspiration, the wahi, also stopped for a while. Okay, so you heard that story before, presumably? Yeah, you've heard that story. You must have heard that story, yeah? Okay, so I'm going to just go through the points which Sheikh Abdurrazak mentioned, just because there are lots of nice points there. Okay, so the first point is that the revelation, if you remember from last time, there was an ayah which the Sheikh mentioned, وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا وَحْيًا أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ أَوْ يُرْسِلَ رَسُولًا فَيُوحَى بِإِذْنِهِ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ can't see, it's too small. إِنَّهُ عَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ. So it's not for any human being that Allah should speak to him except through revelation or from behind a veil, or he sends a messenger to reveal by his permission what he wills. So there were three ways in which Allah communicates with the messengers. So what are the three ways? Do you remember that? Yeah? Yeah. So these are all types of revelation. These are all different types of revelation. So one is through an angel giving the message. That's correct, yeah? And dreams is a kind of direct revelation. So there's also a direct revelation, of which dreams is an example. And then the third way, which is mentioned in the ayah. That's the way the angel comes. So when the angel comes, then he experiences in different ways, right? But it's Allah could speak directly as well, okay? Like he did in Isra and Mi'raj, and like he spoke to Musa directly, okay? So the point is that the revelation, when it first started, it wasn't, I mean, that event was sudden, but there was some build up to it, okay? So first of all, he would get these dreams, like good dreams, which would come true, and then he would see it come true, whatever he dreamt about would come true. So it was a kind of beginning of revelation there, okay? And this happened when he was 40 years old, yeah? So he just turned 40, and that's when this started, okay? And then there was a gap between this and when Jibreel actually came to him in the cave. Does anyone know when Jibreel came to him? Anyone else? When did the Quran come down and the first revelation begin? Anyone know? It's coming soon. After about a month, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well done. So this happened. The dream started 6 months before Ramadan. Okay, and so this was like an introduction to this whole thing, and the dreams would come true. And then the Prophet started to love just spending time on his own, reflecting, worshiping, turning to Allah, calling upon Allah, and so on. And he would actually make this special trip. I should have put a picture in actually, but there's a mountain called Jabal Nur, which is outside Makkah. Okay, so if you go towards Mina, it's sort of on the left side. Okay, and so the Prophet would go there and stay in that small cave, and he would just be on his own, reflecting, and he would worship Allah in a way that Allah sort of opened to him. Okay, and he would spend a lot of time there, and then he would return back, because obviously it's important to not disconnect from the world and not disconnect from your family. So you would come back, but then go back again. Okay. Nowadays it's not something which is like something one does as a form of worship. So it's not something you do, okay, we're going to go to Ghari Hira, as thinking that as an act of worship, thinking as if something that's rewarded for. But there's something we can do in the same way, in a similar way, where we can emulate the Prophet and be in seclusion with Allah. Does anyone know? Well, yeah, particularly in Ramadan, but any time, though, you can do any time. So, yeah, exactly. Very good, yeah. So tahajjud, so now that, obviously that is not something which one does now, that you go off to a cave or you do anything like that. But the equivalent which we can do, and you can have that close seclusion with Allah, where you call upon Allah, He answers, He descends to the lowest heaven, He answers your dua, and so on and so forth, yeah? So that's something we can do, okay? Qiyam al-layl. Anyway, so that was the next stage. And then the final stage was when Jibreel came. And as we said, that was in Ramadan, okay, when Jibreel alayhi salam came. So then the angel came, and I described that he asked the Prophet to read. And he said, I can't read. And then he squeezed him, and that happened three times. And then finally the revelation came. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. So read in the name of your Lord, who's created. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. Created man from a clot. Read, and your Lord is most generous. Okay? So this was when, and this is just an ayah which mentions how the ruh, ar-ruh al-ameen, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam, he was the one who came down and actually brought the revelation. And this was the start of the revelation, the start of the Quran, the first ayahs which came down. Okay? So this is important. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I cannot read. Okay? So we know that the Prophet was unlettered. Okay? And this is one of the miracles. Obviously, there are many, many miracles. But one of the miracles and the amazing things about Islam and about the Prophet was that he was unlettered. He couldn't read or write. He wasn't known as a poet or anything like this, okay? And yet, this amazing recitation came down, okay? It informed about the past, about the prophets of the past, even the future. And it was this beautiful verses which couldn't be copied. No one could imitate them, okay? Even though he was unlettered, he was just a straightforward person who couldn't do anything like fancy like that, okay? Then Jibreel alayhi salam squeezed him three times. And then these ayahs came down. Okay. Okay. And then this is another point. So iqra is an important, like it illustrates that in Islam, knowledge is seen as very important. Okay. So the very first command which came down was iqra, to read. Okay. And that's a way to seek knowledge. Okay. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. And at the same time, we seek Allah's help. So it's not just that we read and get lots of information and get over it, you know. We read and we seek help from Allah, okay? And when this came down, this is what made Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a prophet, okay? So does anyone know the difference between a Nabi and a Rasul? Anyone know the difference? Yep, exactly, yep. And what's the difference between those two? What does it mean when you say that he's a prophet and his messenger? What makes you a prophet? Well, this made him a prophet. So what was it? Yeah? Yeah, it Well, yes, but in this situation, what actually happened that made him a prophet?
Being a messenger.
And then this is when he became a prophet. Oh, he became a Nabi. So this instant occurred, and I'll come to messenger in a minute. This is exactly. So because he received revelation, that's what made him a Nabi. That's what makes people prophets. So the prophets of the past. Okay. And later he became a Rasul, and we'll cover that in a moment, okay? So what makes someone become a Rasul? Messenger, as the name suggests. Yeah, exactly. So then he went public. Okay. So then he went public and he delivered that message and he started that whole process. Okay. Okay. So that's the difference between Nabi and Rasul. Okay. Okay. Does that all make sense? Yeah. So now imagine this, imagine if this had happened, imagine if you were in the position of the Prophet and this happened to you. Okay. He was terrified. This amazing supernatural kind of event. And he was terrified. He thought something's happening to him. He thought maybe he's getting ill, or maybe he's going to die, or maybe something's going to happen to him. So he was terrified. And he raced back to Khadija. He went, raced back home, basically. And his heart was beating, strongly. And he couldn't even actually explain to her what happened initially. He was so, overcome. He just said, cover me, wrap me up. And he just wanted to sort of get into a safe kind of space. Okay. And then Khadija, she gave him that time. She calmed him down. She soothed him and let him cool down. And then when he was ready, then he was able to explain. Okay. And he said, he explained his fear. He said that I'm afraid something's happened to me. He thought maybe I'm going crazy or maybe I'm getting ill. Something's happened to him. Okay. But Khadija was very, she was such a good, righteous wife, and she knew the good in him, and she supported him at that time. And she said, and she had that confidence, never, by Allah, Allah will never disgrace you. You keep good, she mentions good qualities of the Prophet, okay? You keep good ties with your relatives. You help the poor, the needy, and the destitute. And you look after your guests well. And you help the people who have been afflicted by calamity. So these were the good, excellent characteristics and excellent manners of the Prophet. And so she was supporting, encouraging him and supporting him through that. Then she went to Waraqa ibn Nawfal. Now, anyone know the story of Waraqa? It's a really interesting story. Okay. So again, there's actually a lecture on the internet, you can look it up actually. But before the Prophet, before the message came, there was widespread shirk in Arabia, in Mecca. They had idols around the Kaaba. They would do all sorts of shirk. They would worship the idols. They would sacrifice to them and so on. But there were a few people at that time who felt very uncomfortable with that, and they were disgusted by that. Okay. And they wanted to follow the original way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, of Abraham. Okay. So just themselves, even though the revelation hadn't come down to them, okay, hadn't come down at that stage, they felt very uncomfortable with the idolatry and the shirk, and not only that, all the sinfulness that they did, like they would bury their daughters alive and they would do all sorts of indecent acts and so on. So they were disgusted by that. So they were trying to find the truth, and there were four of them, and they sort of went discussing and exploring and trying to find out what was correct. And Waraqa was one of them, and he looked into Christianity, okay, the Christianity of that time, and he studied it, and he became a scholar of Christianity, okay, and he stayed away from the shirk and all the idolatry, okay. So that's the story of Waraqa. So at that stage, he was a really old man, okay, he'd lost his eyesight, he was very thin and old and weak and so on, okay, but he recognized, now this is really interesting, so because he knew the scriptures of the Christians, okay, he knew that this was, he knew what this was, what was happening. Yeah, he knew that this was Jibreel, and he knew that this is revelation coming to a prophet like the previous prophets, like Musa and Isa and so on. Okay, so he recognized it straight away. And then he said that, I wish I was young, I wish I could support you, and I wish I could live to the time that you get kicked out, so that I could support you strongly. Okay, so even though he was so old and weak, he had that desire and that drive to to help and support the Prophet. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sort of innocently surprised. He said, am I going to be kicked out by my people? He didn't understand that, because, and you've got to know the status. Does anyone know what the Prophet was called before he became a prophet? People really trusted him. Do you know what he was called? Yeah, exactly. In Arabic, anyone know that? Al-Amin. Yeah, he was known as the trustworthy one. So he, people really respected him, okay? And they would trust their, you know, they, if they had valuables and they were going on a journey, they would leave it with the Prophet and they would trust him with that. If they had a dispute or an argument, they would go to, okay, let's go to Muhammad, let's go to Muhammad, they would say, let's go to him and ask him to sort it out for us, okay? So he just couldn't understand how his people would turn against him like that, okay? But again, Waraqa knew from the example of the prophets of the past, from the scripture. And it's inevitable that if you come with that message and you are going to revolutionize, turn the society upside down, everything they hold sacred, all the idolatry, all their false beliefs, all the sins that they do, burying daughters alive, drinking alcohol, indecency, everything. You're going to do away with all of that, okay? So people will, of course, they will reject you and they will be harsh towards you, okay? So Waraqa was a companion, okay? He was considered a companion because he saw the Prophet and he believed in him and then he died. And then when he died, the revelation paused for a while, okay? Some people say it was up to 2.5 years. There was a gap of 2.5 years, but that's not authentic. It seems to be that it was a number of days, okay? Okay, is that okay? So that was really the first event where the Prophet received revelation. Okay, any questions about that? Is that all clear? Yeah. So I'll ask you a question now, actually, if you don't have questions. So this is a slightly separate point for what Sheikh Abdul Razak said, but there's a category of or there's books written about Dala'il al-Nubuwa, okay, proofs of prophethood, okay? So there are things we can extract which show that the Prophet was truthful and that he was truly a prophet. And this is obviously strengthens our iman, but also we can explain it to other people when we're explaining about Islam that the Prophet was true, okay? So there's certain things in the story which help to prove that the Prophet was truthful and that he truly was a prophet and so on and so forth, okay? So can you think about anything and see what you think? Let me know if you can think of anything. I'll go back to the full hadith. It's small, but are there any things from that which help to prove the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? To show that he was genuine and he wasn't. Any ideas?
You mentioned that he didn't know how to read.
Yes.
Latin. So that would be one proof. He could not. The chasm or the gap between not knowing how to read and then coming with this revelation is just too great.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. That's really good. So the Prophet was unlettered. Okay. So these are all kind of proofs of the miraculous nature of what was happening. Okay. That this is miraculous and that he truly was a prophet. Okay. So one is that he was unlettered. He couldn't read and write. Okay. Let alone write, you know, he couldn't write poetry. He wasn't anything like that. Okay. Yet he came with this Quran, which was so beautiful that even the disbelievers at the time, they were amazed. In fact, they would secretly go and listen to the Quran because it was so beautiful, even though they didn't want to accept it was true. They would secretly go and listen because they just found it amazing. Okay, that's one thing. The Prophet was unlettered. Anything else? What about Waraqa, the whole incident with Waraqa? What does that? Yeah. Yes. Exactly. So this was something in the previous scriptures. So not only that the same type of thing happened with previous prophets like Isa and Musa, alayhi salam, which we also obviously believe in, But also it was actually predicted, it was predicted that this prophet would come. Okay. And what's really interesting, again, if you want to dig into it, the Christianity before the prophet had been completely corrupted by the Catholic and that church. But there were a few remnants in the Syriac Christians who were in Iran, okay? And they had not been influenced by the Catholics. So they had some remnants of the true Christianity, which was Islam of that time, okay? So they knew in a lot of detail about the prophet. And even the Jews, they knew about the prophet. So they knew that the next prophet would come in this place in Arabia between two lava fields, two lava plains, which is Medina. And they actually moved to Medina because they were waiting for the next prophet. Okay. And then when he came, they disbelieved him. Okay. But this was the detail, level of detail knowledge that they had. Okay. Okay. So that's another thing. Okay. There's one more thing, because the prophet was surprised when he said, "My people will kick me out." And Khadija also was saying things about the prophet. What, how does that help to prove the prophethood of the prophet?
That historically, that's what happened.
Yeah.
With all the prophets. Whoever came with such a revelation, intervention.
Yeah, that's true, and that sort of comes under that same idea that this is something predicted, and the previous scriptures mention this, and this will happen. Yes, agreed. But there's something else specifically, because the prophet thought he was scared, he might be going ill or might be going crazy, and some people later they accused him. I said, "You're just a liar, or you're a sorcerer, or you're a madman, or you're a poet, and so on." Okay, or you're a trickster. They would say all sorts of horrible things about the prophet. Okay, but what do we know about the prophet before he became a prophet? What did Khadija say about him? What did she say? It's actually, you can just quickly see it. I'll just forward it a bit, actually, and then we can show you. Oops. Yeah. So she mentioned the characteristics of the prophet. Yeah. So the point is that the prophet had such a good reputation, and he was known as a decent, honest, upright person. Yeah. And he even was surprised. He said, "Will my people turn me out?" So he was a completely straightforward, honest person. Okay. And he was not the kind of person who would ever dream of lying or making something up or making a false claim. Yeah. That was the last thing he would ever do. So for him to do this, for him to make the claim that he was a prophet, it had to be truthful, because he was always known for being truthful. Okay. So we could stop there or do a bit more. This is the fourth hadith. So should we do one more hadith? Just one more. Okay. I don't want to make it too long, because otherwise it gets some. Okay, we'll do one more then. Okay. So then we said that after Waraqa ibn Nawfal, radiallahu anhu, died, there was a pause. The revelation paused for a number of days. Okay, and then Jabir ibn Abdullah reported that what the Prophet ﷺ said. So the Prophet said this: that while I was walking out in the open, all of a sudden I heard a voice from the sky. I looked up and saw the same angel who had visited me at the cave of Hira, sitting on a chair between the sky and earth. I was afraid of him and came back home and said, "Wrap me up in blankets." Again, the same thing, because again, he was scared. And then Allah revealed the following ayat: "Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andhir, wa rabbaka fakabbir, wa thiyabaka fatahhir, wa rujza fahjur." Okay, and I'll go through those ayahs. So, "Oh, you wrapped up in garments, arise and warn." Okay, warn the people. of Allah's punishment if they continue in their shirk and so on. And then after this, the revelation started coming strongly and frequently. Okay. So this is it now, just breaking it up. So there was a pause, as I said, a period of pause. And then the Prophet heard this voice and he saw Angel Jibreel again in the sky. Okay. This was just another point. Sorry, this was just something Sheikh Abdul Razak mentioned about the ayahs before. That iqra bism rabbika alladhi khalaq. Okay, so it starts off with reciting and ends with kalla la tuti'hu wasjud waqtarib. Do not obey him, but make sajda and draw close to Allah. Okay, so it started with, and this is just like salah, it's similar to salah that you start with recitation and it ends with sujood. Okay, that's just another point you made. Okay, so anyway, so the next point. So some of the scholars say that there was some wisdom behind having a gap in recitation. Okay, any idea what the benefit might be for the Prophet or the wisdom? Yeah, that's right. So it was terrifying experience. Okay, so that would help him calm down, you know, let things settle down a bit. And also there was some incredible beauty in the recitation, so he would actually start to long for it as well. So that's what people say, that there was some wisdom behind it. Firstly, that he would, even then he was still scared. He saw Jibreel in the sky and he got scared again, but at least he's able to expecting a bit now. Yeah. And also he was longing for the recitation revelation again. And also, this is another special characteristic of prophethood, that the Prophet could see things which other people could not see. So if you were standing next to the Prophet at that moment, you wouldn't have seen Jibreel, obviously, okay? And there are other examples, like when he was praying in the prayer one time, he was praying in Salat al-Khusuf, and he went backwards, he actually moved backwards. And then later he moved forwards, okay? And then the companions asked him, why did you do that? And he said, well, when I was praying, I could see the hellfire in front of me, so I moved back. And then later when I could see Jannah in front of me, so I wanted to go, so I moved forward towards it, okay? So obviously the companions were all there, they didn't see that, but he could see that because he's a prophet. Again, that's something special for him, okay? And then the ayat came, okay? Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andir, okay? وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِرْ وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ. So arise and warn. You need to stand up and you need to start delivering the message now, okay? So that is what made the Prophet become a messenger, okay? So he received revelation, he became a Nabi, and then he was told to spread that message, and that's what made him a messenger. And then obviously facing the hostility from that, okay? And then the revelation became frequent from then on. Okay. And so this is really nice because Bukhari has mentioned these hadith. He's gone right back to the beginning. So we're learning about Islam, we're learning about the Sharia, we're learning about all of these things. We go right back to the very beginning. Where did it all start? Okay. And then we can see how everything went from there. Okay. I think, should we stop there? Otherwise I think it'll get a bit too much. Is that okay? Do you want to do more? Or? Huh? You want to do a bit more? Okay, we'll do one more hadith then, inshallah. Okay, one more hadith, inshallah. Okay, so this is just another, this one's not too complex, hopefully. So this is Ibn Abbas. There's an ayah, la tuharrik bihi lisanaka lita'jala bih. So don't move your tongue concerning the Quran. So Jibreel would come to the Prophet and reveal some ayah. And he would be afraid that, as you'll see, he'd be afraid that he might forget it or might not get it all. So he would sort of mouth the same words at the same time, okay? So Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to bear the revelation with difficulty because it was difficult, yeah? And he used to move his lips quickly with the inspiration. And Ibn Abbas moved his lips saying, I'm moving my lips in front of you as Allah's Messenger used to move his lips. And then Saeed, the other narrator, also said the same thing. Okay, so sometimes the hadith, they would act out part of the hadith. Yeah, so the Prophet, he showed Ibn Abbas, this is how I would do it. And Ibn Abbas then showed the next person. And so that's the detail that we have in hadith, okay? So not only the wording, but the action, the Prophet acted it out, and then Ibn Abbas acted it out, and then Sa'ida, and then it went on like that. Okay. So Allah revealed the ayah. Do not move your tongue concerning the Quran to make haste with that. So don't try and say the same thing at the same time. Okay. It is for us to collect it and give you the ability to recite it, which means that Allah will make sure that the Prophet remembers that portion of the Quran which was revealed by heart and help him to recite it. And then the statement of Allah, and when we have recited it to you, فَتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ, then follow its recitation, means listen and be quiet and don't do anything. Then it is for us, Allah, to make it clear to you, means that it's for Allah to make you recite it and make its meaning clear to you. So after that point, the Prophet ﷺ used to listen to Jibreel whenever he came, and then after he left, then he would recite it correctly. Okay, so this is just explaining that point. Okay, so he would find it difficult, and he didn't want to miss out anything. Okay, so that's why he would verb, you know, he would mouth it as well. Okay. And this is what I was saying, that they would actually act out the hadith. Okay. So the Prophet would have shown Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas hadn't been born then, but he would have shown Ibn Abbas, and then he would have shown the next person. Okay. So, yeah. And then it goes back to that. La tuharrik bihi lisanaka lita'jala bih. Don't move your tongue to be hasty. Inna alayna jam'ahu wa qur'ana. Indeed, upon us is to collect it in your heart and to help you recite it. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَا. So when we have recited it, then follow its recitation, just be quiet. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَا. Then upon us is its clarification. Okay. So this shows that Allah helped with three different stages for the Prophet. He helped the Prophet to memorize it in his heart, and then helped him to recite it accurately afterwards, and then to explain it. Okay, so the Prophet also, he was the explainer of the Quran. He was the living example of the Quran. That's what the Prophet was. Okay, and so Allah helped and revealed all of this to him: the wording of the Quran, the memorizing it and reciting it, but he also made the Prophet the one who explained the Quran, and that was also that Allah sent down the explanation of the Quran with its perfect explanation in the form of the Prophet. Okay, and that was also preserved in the Hadith. And then there's just a point: فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ, when we recite it, its meaning is obviously Allah's recitation, but it's referring to Jibreel revealing it to the Prophet. That's what it's referring to. Okay, I think that's it really. Is that clear? Okay. Actually, there's one more hadith which is very quick, so we'll just finish it. Okay. Any questions? Or that's all clear? Okay. And this is actually very relevant because Ramadan's around the corner. Okay. So Allah, this is another narration then. Ibn Abbas narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of all people. And he used to reach the peak of generosity in Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, when Jibreel came to him. And Jibreel would come and meet him every night to revise the Quran. Okay? Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most generous person, even more generous than a wind. Like, it was uncontrolled generosity, right? He was so generous. Okay? So the Prophet was generous, and he became more generous in Ramadan. Okay? And this shows the importance of Ramadan. Ramadan is the month of the Quran. Ramadan was when the revelation first came. Okay, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, the month of Ramadan when the Quran came down. Okay, and this is why we should make Ramadan especially for the Quran. Okay, the Prophet himself would revise the Quran with Jibreel. And that's why it's important that we do all these things like tahajjud and reciting Quran and revising and so on and so forth. Okay? I think that's it. That's a nice, simple one to end on, yeah? Okay. Any questions at all?
Stepping back from down 1, 2, 3, not just the last 10.
I think so, yeah. I think it's every night, yeah. And he would go, and in fact, so that would happen every year. And then the year before he died, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he did it twice. And then the Prophet realized that this must indicate that my time has come. So, yeah. That's one of my questions. Was that quiz, was that useful at all? Or? I just did one on Bukhari, and I can do another one if people like that. I mean, it's not. I'm not going to keep any marks. It's just for your own interest, really. Yeah, the quiz was just on the biography of Bukhari, so I'll probably do a next one. We'll cover the first set of hadith, and inshallah. Yeah. Okay, I'll try and do that if I can, inshallah.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
They just.